40. Pallona. That they responded immediately and with great consternation is undeniable, as these were primary among those who would forswear and abandon their oaths. The term recreants was not then applied, but has since become a popular title by which this event is named. From Words of Radiance, Chapter 38, page 6. Sabariel shared his carriage with Shallan as they left the king's palace and rode toward his war camp. Pattern kept vibrating softly on the folds of her skirt, and she had to shush him. The High Prince sat across from her, head tilted back against the cushioned wall, snoring softly as the carriage rattled. The ground here had been scraped clean of rock buds and set with a line of flagstones down the center to divide left from right. Her soldiers were safe and would catch up later. She had a base of operations and an income. In the tension of the meeting and then Navani's withdrawal, the Colin house hadn't yet demanded that Shallan turn over Yasna's things. She still needed to approach Navani about helping with the research, but so far the day had actually worked out quite well. Now Shallan just needed to save the world. Sabariel snorted and shook awake from his short nap. He settled into his seat, wiping his cheek.
"You've changed."
"Excuse me?"
"You look younger. In there I would have guessed you were 20, maybe 25. But now I see that you can't be older than 14.
"I am 17, Shallan said dryly.
"Same difference,"
Sabariel grunted.
"I could have sworn your dress was more vibrant before. Your features sharper, prettier. Must have been the light."
"Do you always make a habit of insulting the looks of young ladies?" Shallan asked. "Or is it only after you drool in front of them?" He grinned.
"You weren't trained in the court, obviously. I like that. But be careful. Insult the wrong people in this place and retribution can be swift."
Through the carriage window, Shallan saw that they were finally approaching a war camp, flying Sabariel's banner. It bore the glyphs Sebes and Laial, stylized into a sky eel, deep gold on a black field. The soldiers at the gates saluted, and Sabariel gave orders for one to conduct Shallan's men to his manor when they arrived. The carriage continued, and Sabariel settled back to watch her, as if anticipating something. She couldn't fathom what. Perhaps she was reading him wrong. She turned her attention out the window, and soon decided that this place was a war camp in name only. The streets were straighter than you might have in a city that had grown naturally, but Shallan saw far more civilians than she did soldiers. They passed taverns, open markets, shops, and tall buildings that surely could hold a dozen different families. People crowded many of the streets. The place wasn't as varied and vibrant as Carbranth had been, but the buildings were of solid wood and stone, constructed up against one another to share support.
"Rounded roofs," Shallan said.
"My engineers say they repel the winds better," Sabariel said proudly. "Also buildings with rounded corners and sides."
"So many people."
"Almost all permanent residents. I have the most complete force of tailors, artisans, and cooks in the camps. Already I've set up 12 manufactories. Textiles, shoes, ceramics, several mills. I control the glass blowers as well."
Shallan turned back toward him. That pride in his voice didn't at all match what Yasna had written of the man. Of course, most of her notes and knowledge of the High Princes came from infrequent visits to the Shattered Plains, and none had been recent.
"From what I've heard," Shallan said, "your forces are among the least successful in the war against the Parshendi."
Sabariel got a twinkle in his eyes.
"The others hunt quick income from gem hearts. But what will they spend their money on? My textile mills will soon produce uniforms at a much cheaper price than they can be shipped in for, and my farmers will provide food far more varied than what is supplied through soul casting. I'm growing both lavis and tallow, not to mention my hog farms.
You sly eel, Shallan said. While the others fight a war, you've been building an economy.
I've had to be careful, he confided, leaning in. I didn't want them to notice what I was doing at first.
Clever, Shallan said. But why are you telling me?
You'll see it anyway if you're to act as one of my clerks. Besides, the secrecy doesn't matter anymore. The manufactories are now producing, and my armies barely go on a single plateau run a month. I have to pay Dalinar's fines for avoiding them and forcing him to send someone else, but it's worth the cost. Anyway, the smarter High Princess have figured out what I'm up to. The others just think I'm a lazy fool.
And so you're not a lazy fool?
Of course I am, he exclaimed. Fighting is too much work. Besides, soldiers die, and that makes me pay out to their families. It's just useless all around.
He looked out the window.
I saw the secret 3 years back. Everyone was moving here, but nobody thought of the place as permanent, despite the value of those gem hearts, which ensured that Alethkar would always have a presence here.
He smiled. The carriage eventually pulled up to a modest manor-style home amid the taller tenement buildings. The manor had grounds filled with ornamental shale bark, a flagstone drive, and even some trees. The stately home, while not enormous, had a refined, classical design with pillars along the front. It used the row of taller stone buildings behind it as a perfect windbreak.
"We probably have room for you," Sabariel said. "Maybe in the cellars. Never do seem to have enough space for all of the stuff I'm expected to have. 3 full sets of dining furniture. Bah! As if I'm ever going to have anyone over."
"You really don't think highly of the others, do you?" Shallan asked.
"I hate them," Sabariel said. "But I try to hate everyone. That way I don't risk leaving out anyone who is particularly deserving. Anyway, here we are. Don't expect me to help you out of the carriage."
She didn't need his help. As a footman quickly arrived and assisted her, she stepped out onto the stone steps built in beside the driveway. Another footman went to Sabariel, who cursed at him, but accepted the aid. A short woman in a fine dress stood on the manor's steps, hands on her hips. She had curly dark hair. From northern Alethkar, then?
Ah,
Sabariel said, as he and Shallan walked up toward the woman.
The bane of my existence. Please try to hold your laughter until we separate. My frail, aging ego can no longer handle the mockery.
Shallan gave him a confused look. Then the woman spoke.
Please tell me you didn't kidnap her, Turi.
No, not Alethi at all, Shallan thought, trying to judge the woman's accent. Herdazian. The fingernails with a rock-like cast to them proved that. She was dark-eyed, but her fine dress indicated she was not a servant. Of course. The mistress.
She insisted on coming with me, Polona, Sabariel said, climbing the steps. I couldn't dissuade her. We'll have to give her a room or something.
And who is she?
Some foreigner, Sabariel said. When she said she wanted to come with me, it seemed to annoy old Dalinar, so I allowed it.
He hesitated.
What was your name?
He asked, turning to Shallan. Shallan Devar, Shallan said, bowing to Polona. She might be dark-eyed, but she was apparently head of this household. The Herdazian woman cocked an eyebrow.
Well, she is polite, which means she probably won't fit in here. I honestly can't believe you brought home a random girl because you thought it would annoy one of the other high princes.
Bah, Sabariel said. Woman, you make me the most hen-pecked man in all of Alethkar.
We aren't in Alethkar.
and I'm not even storming married.
I'm not marrying you, so stop asking, Polona said, folding her arms, looking Shallan up and down speculatively. She's far too young for you.
Sabariel grinned.
I used that line already. On Ruthar, it was delightful. He sputtered so much you could have mistaken him for a storm.
Polona smiled, then waved him inside.
There's mulled wine in your study.
He sauntered toward the door.
Food?
You ran the cook off. Remember?
Oh, right. Well, you could have made the food.
As could you.
Bah! You're useless, woman. All you do is spend my money. Why do I put up with you again?
Because you love me.
Can't be that, Sabariel said,
pausing beside the front doors.
I'm not capable of love. Too much a curmudgeon. Well, do something with the girl.
He walked inside. Polona beckoned Shallan up to join her.
What really happened, child?
He didn't say anything untrue, Shallan said, realizing that she was blushing. But he did leave out a few facts. I have come for the purpose of an arranged marriage to Adolin Colin. I thought staying in the Colin household might leave me too restricted, so I sought other options.
Huh. That actually makes it sound like Turi.
Don't call me that, a voice called from inside.
That the idiot did something politically savvy.
Well, Shallan said, I did kind of bully him into taking me in, and I implied publicly that he was going to give me a very generous stipend.
Too large a one, the voice said from inside.
Is he standing in there listening? Shallan asked.
He's good at skulking, Polona said. Well, come along. Let's get you settled. Make sure you tell me how much he's promised, even by implication for your stipend. I'll make sure it happens.
Several footmen unloaded Shallan's trunks from the coach. Her soldiers hadn't arrived yet. Hopefully they hadn't run into trouble. She followed Polona into the building, which proved to have as classic a decor as the exterior implied. Lots of marble and crystal, statues trimmed in gold, a sweeping broad staircase leading to a second-floor balcony overlooking the entrance hall. Shallan didn't notice the high prince around, skulking or otherwise. Polona led Shallan to a very nice set of rooms in the eastern wing. They were all white and richly furnished, the hard stone walls and floors softened with silk hangings and thick rugs. She hardly deserved such rich decor. I suppose I shouldn't feel that way, Shallan thought, as Polona checked the closet for towels and linen. I'm betrothed to a prince. Still, so much finery reminded her of her father. The lace, jewelry, and silk he'd given her in attempts to make her forget about other times. Shallan blinked, turning to Polona, who was speaking about something.
Excuse me?
Shallan asked.
Servants, Polona said. You have your own lady's maid?
I don't, Shallan said.
I've got 18 soldiers, though, and 5 slaves.
And they'll be helping you change clothes?
Shallan blushed.
I mean that I'd like them to be housed, if you can manage it.
I can, Polona said lightly.
I can probably even find something productive for them to do. You'll want them paid out of your stipend, I assume. Your maid as well, which I'll get for you. Food is served at 2nd bell, noon, and 10th bell. If you want something at other times, ask at the kitchens. Cook might swear at you, assuming I can get him to come back this time. We've a storm cistern, so there's usually running water. If you want it warm for a bath, the boys will need an hour or so to heat it.
Running water? Shallan said, eager. She'd seen this for the first time in Carbranth.
As I said, storm cistern, Polona said, pointing upward. Each high storm fills it, and the shape of the cistern sifts out the creme. Don't use the system until midday after a high storm or the water will be brown. and you look entirely too eager about this.
Sorry, Shallan said. We didn't have this sort of thing in Yarkaved.
Welcome to civilization. I trust you left your club and loincloth at the door. Let me set to finding you a maid.
The short woman started to leave. Polona? Shallan asked.
Yes, child.
Thank you. Polona smiled.
Winds, no, you're not the first stray he's brought home. Some of us even end up staying.
She left. Shallan sat down on the plush white bed and sank almost down to her neck. What had they made the thing out of? Air and wishes? It felt luxurious. In her sitting room, Thumps announced the footmen arriving with her trunks. They left a moment later, closing the door. For the first time in quite a long while, Shallan found herself not fighting for her survival or worrying about being murdered by one of her traveling companions. So she fell asleep.